1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse number 12, the Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Going to look at that phrase there, war a good warfare. What does that mean? The war a good warfare. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you again in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit here today. I pray, Lord, you use me. I pray, Lord, you give me clarity of mind. I pray, Lord, you give me direction. And I pray, Lord, that you'll do what only you can do, and that's to use me to speak your word and to speak to the hearts of those here today. And Lord, whatever you do, we'll give you the glory and honor for it. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, the Christian life is often referred to as a war, as a battle, as warfare, as we look here. And God does not hand out brochures, right, offering up all these illicit benefits to those who become Christian. Usually it's quite the opposite of that. God enlists soldiers, and he calls on them to engage in a battle, and this battle will not end until your death or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That very moment that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you were born again. You enlisted into a lifelong war, a battle, right? Hopefully you're aware of that. Hopefully you know you're in a battle. You see, the Christian is a soldier for Christ, right? And in case you haven't noticed, we are in enemy territory. We are deep in enemy territory. Now, Paul does not say here to wage a good warfare. Right? This is not the words of a coach encouraging his players to go out there and do the best you can do. All right? He's not handing out participation trophies. Everybody does not get a trophy. Okay? What Paul says here is war a good warfare. He's talking about living a victorious Christian life. Are you living a victorious Christian life today? You see, the very nature of serving the Lord is warfare. If you're saved, you are in a battle, you are in the war, and you can't quit, you can't get out of it, you can't cuddle up in a hole and just sit there in your safe place, right? We are in battle, we must take the war to the enemy, right? But many Christians have it all wrong, right? We have it all wrong, and we think that once we become a Christian, that life should be so easy now, right? Life should be hunky-dory. Everybody should wait on me. Everybody should serve me, even in the church. I come here and you should serve me today. I'm at church. What's in it for me? That's not what church is. We have it all wrong. And you see, that's not the Word of God. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are to war a good warfare. We are in a battle. And the battle is all around us, right? The battle is this flesh. We all still have this flesh, even if you've been born again. We have this flesh. We have this world. We have the devil bombarding us every day. There is a constant battle between me and this world and this flesh and this devil. Hey, look, when I was lost, the devil didn't care what I did. He did not care what I did as long as he could keep me distracted, right? As long as he could keep me lost. As long as he could keep me out of church or keep me from reading the Bible and keep me from hearing the gospel message and keep me from getting born again. But you know, once I got saved, the battle's on. The battle is on. The battle has begun, and the devil now wants to do everything he can to destroy me. Me and the flesh, me and the devil, me and the world, it's a constant thing. And Paul reminds us here that we are to war a good warfare. Now let me just tell you this, right? Many people think that the battle is amongst other people, right? The battle is not against people. The people are not our enemy. The person next to you is not your enemy. You know, Christians want to bicker with each other and complain with each other, and that's not what it should be. That war, that battle is the flesh and the devil in this world, right? Our battle is not with other people. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Hey, look, I am not your enemy. Right? Jesus came and He gave truth. He says, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" No, I am not your enemy. The person next to you is not your enemy. The people are not your enemy. I do not understand why we cannot get a hold of this. The devil is our enemy. Hey, look, I talk with people and they say, I quit going to church. I'm not going to church. I'm mad at God. Right? God allowed this in my life. Hey, don't get mad at God. Get mad at the devil. Get mad at your flesh. Get mad at the world. Right? Get mad at the devil. Don't get mad at God. You see, Paul knew that he was in a battle. He knew there was a war going on, and he's writing this letter to Timothy and let him know that, hey, there is going to be a battle. You are in the battle. It is going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. You see, the goal of this warfare, the goal of this life, isn't just to survive until the end. It's not to survive and live a hunky-dory life, a comfy, cozy life. It's not just to live and never have any battles or never have any illnesses, right? Even non-Christians are battling the battle of life. They're battling the fact of staying alive, and they're trying to not get illnesses and death, right? Everybody is engaged in the battle of life, but that's not what he's talking about here. That's not the Christian life. Paul is talking about being a Christian, about living Christ-like life in this wicked and dangerous world that we live in. And we live in some perilous times. Right? We live in what I would refer to as the end times. Jesus Christ could come back right now. Right? He could come back at this very moment. We are living in the end times. If you're not saved, you've never been born again, hey, your chances could be running out. Right? Jesus may not come back today. He might come back tomorrow. But anybody can leave out of here and the old heart can stop ticking. Right? The old heart can stop ticking. We can go out into eternity. But listen, when Jesus was on earth, we have the Bible to prove it. He went about His daily life. He did not hide from the war. He did not hide from the issues of people. He did not hide from the issues of life. You know, He didn't put His mask on and go into His safe place and then come out. No, He went to where the people were. He went to the midst of the lepers. Right? He went into the midst of the marketplaces. He went into cities among the dangers of everyday life. Jesus engaged the enemy. He warred a good warfare. He is our example. So are you warring a good warfare? Are you living the victorious life? So hey, I got two reasons here today. Two reasons why we are to war a good warfare. Two reasons. So number one, it's because it's our duty. It's our duty. All right? You look there at verse 18 from our text. The Bible says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them, by this, war a good warfare." Hey, it is our duty. Christian, it is our duty. We are in a battle. We are in a war. We are in warfare. And listen, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's not going to be a kumbaya time. It's going to be a difficult time. And Paul's giving the charge here to Timothy, saying, you're giving him the charge and say, hey, press on. It's time to go. Be ready. Gird up thy loins. Get ready. Prepare yourself. There is coming a time. There is coming a war, and you're in it. Okay? Now, duty. What is duty? What does that mean, duty? All right. Duty is defined as a moral or a legal obligation or a responsibility. Right? A responsibility. And now as we look at Veterans Day, right, we talk about being in the military. Duty is a big deal in the military, right? But duty in the military means much more than just holding down a job. It means much more than just a 40-hour work week, right? It means much more than just being professional or even serving our country in the armed services in the military. It means much more than that. Duty is that moral force that binds you to accomplishing your assigned duties or responsibilities without regard to your own preference, without regard to how much money am I going to make, or without regard to my own desires or my career, right? You see, it's not about me. Duty means it's not about me. Duty means it's all about the service. Putting the service before self. That's duty. Duty means putting the needs of the service first above everything. All right? Christian, we're to put our duty to Jesus Christ above everything. Our duty to Jesus Christ should be first and foremost above anything. Your thoughts, your feelings, your desires, your wants, your pocketbooks, all those things, it is our duty to put Christ first. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, it is our duty to do it. Because at the end of the day, we are really unworthy to serve Him. We are unworthy of the privilege to serve Him. If you would flip over to Luke chapter 17. We are unprofitable servants, but He enlists us in His army. Luke chapter 17, verse number 10. Luke 17, verse number 10. The Bible says there, it says, "So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants." We're not worthy to serve the Lord. So we have done that which was our duty to do. Let me ask you a question. Why is there no duty in Christians today? Why do we not have any duty? Why is it, what do I get out of it? Why is it, what's in it for me? What am I going to benefit? If I go to church, what's in it for me? If I become a Christian, what am I going to get out of it? Right? Always looking at me, me, me. Why is it that so many Christians are content to receive Jesus as their Savior, but never do anything else with it? To just go to heaven without any duty. Hey, look, we don't lack duty. We know what duty is, right? 100,000 plus a duty at a football game, right? We know what duty is to sports. We know what duty is to our hobbies, to golf or shopping or the things that I want to do. I'm all in. I have duty to do those things, but yet there is no duty to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? How is that? Listen, time is of the essence. Time is. Time keeps ticking by. We're running out of time. You and I both running out of time. Time is of the essence. It could be here right now, and the next second our life could be ended. Time is of the essence. You see, there should be a sense of duty to get the gospel out. There should be a sense of duty to win the lost. There should be a sense of duty to see souls saved, right? To see the church grow. Hey, do you have lost loved ones? Do you have lost friends, neighbors, co-workers? There should be a sense of duty to show them how to be saved, to lead them to the Lord. Right? But there's no duty in Christianity today. Warfare. That word warfare scares us. Scary, right? Sounds dangerous. Dangerous, right? Sounds hard. Yeah, it's hard. It's rough, right? It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to make some tough decisions. You're going to have to make some tough decisions. And hey, it's not about being nice to someone. Okay? It's about doing what the Lord Jesus Christ commands us to do. Separation. "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Hey, it's not about being nice to people. Hey, if you invite me to a wedding, and I know there's going to be alcohol and drink in there, and bad music, hey, I'm not going. Okay? It's not about, oh, I need to be nice to these people and go. I'm not going. Okay? Separation, right? It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to make those tough decisions. You're still there in Luke. Look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Right? Jesus told us, Right? Jesus told us. We've got to deny ourselves. It's not about our wants. There's got to be some duty in the Christian life. Some duty. In Luke chapter 9, look at verse 23. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 23, Jesus said, "And He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself his wants, his desires, the things that his flesh to do, to fulfill the lust of the flesh, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." Daily. It's an everyday thing. Paul said, "I die daily to my flesh. I die daily to my wants. I die daily to the things of this world that I desire and long to have." Why? Because he wanted to prove his duty. He says, "I'm in a war. There's a battle. It is my duty." Right? He says here, "Take up his cross daily and follow Me." Right? That's a command. That's for you and me. You're born again. You're a Christian. It is our duty to deny our flesh, to deny our wants, to die daily, to take up our cross daily, every single day. Why daily? Right, it's interesting because I chose this verse because the other verses in Mark, for instance, didn't use the word daily. Right, it's a daily thing. I wake up in the morning, I have to die to my flesh daily because my flesh wants to go contrary to the Word of God. It wants to go contrary to what I know is right. That's the flesh. That's this evil flesh that we have on us. Okay? Hey, look, it is our duty to war a good warfare. This spiritual war that we are fighting, it's a war against God and Satan. It is. It's that battle against God and Satan. It's that battle against light and darkness. It's that battle between truth and lies. And it's a battle between the gospel and religion. Right? This world is full of religion. Religion will keep you lost and on your way to hell more than anything else in this world. Religion. The gospel is the only message that saves. And it's a simple message. It's so simple. Right? God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That's the gospel message. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's a simple message. There's no confusion. Religion is full of confusion. Right? You talk to a religious man, and you talk to him, and at the end of the day, they're like, "Well, I'm still hoping I'm going to heaven. I just still don't know." Right, but you talk to somebody who's been born again by what Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, somebody who's been born again, trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, hey, they say, "I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me on the cross. He paid it all, nothing good in me at all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. What I deserve is death and eternal hell, eternal torment." Right? The rich man in Luke chapter 16, he died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torment. He was dead on earth, but he didn't die and go to the grave and cease to exist. He opened his eyes on the other side of death, and he was in hell. He was in the flames of torment. You say, "I don't know about that stuff, preacher." Why do you believe that? Well, because God said it. God said it's in His Word. What have you got to go by? What are you putting your faith in? What else do you have, right? Hey, my hope is in this. My hope is in looking for that glorious appearing in the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, right? That's my hope. That's all of our hope as a Christian, right? And it is our duty. It's our duty, right? It's our duty to war a good warfare, right? You see, there is this constant battle, right? If you say that you're a Christian, and there's no battle, check your salvation. Check your Christianity. Because the Bible warns us that there's going to be a battle. It is going to be a war. Hey, look, the devil is not going to engage you in a battle if you're lost or if you're a sorry Christian and you don't do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to leave you alone because he don't have to worry about you. You're either lost or you're not doing anything, so you're no threat to him. All right? But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:3 that it describes this warfare. It says this in 2 Timothy 2:3, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We're to endure that hardness. Right? We know what's going to happen. The Bible warns us about the fiery darts of the devil coming at us. We know that this life, there's going to be hardness. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be illness. There's going to be death. There's going to be things that come upon us from the devil and our flesh. Right? But, you know, these things are our battle. These things are the war. And he tells us we're to war a good warfare. Hey, look, the more zealous you are to serve the Lord, the more you will engage the enemy. The more deeper you go, the more fierce the battle will be. And that's not only for you personally. The same rules apply for the church. The devil isn't attacking the churches that aren't New Testament, gospel preaching, Bible believing churches. The devil is attacking those that preach the gospel. The devil is attacking those that are separated. The devil is attacking those that are New Testament, gospel preaching churches that are engaged in the warfare. Hey, why do you think there's so few New Testament, gospel preaching, Bible believing churches? Why do you think there's so few of them? Because there's a battle, there's a war, and it is so much easier, right, if I don't preach on anything. If I just say, oh, come as you are, do what you want to do, have no separation, live your life the way you want, live your life in your sin. Oh, you're a drunkard guy, you just come to church, you be a drunkard, right? No, there's separation. It's a whole lot easier if you don't preach on those things, and the devil's not worried about those things. Hey, if you're a lukewarm church, what's the devil got to worry about? He's going to attack those that are getting the gospel out, that are soldiers in the battle, fighting, pushing on enemy terms, right? You ever wonder what soldiers are used for? I know when I was in the military, we went through basic training. That whole time we was in basic training, it seems like they are training us. I know I wasn't in the Marines, right? I was in the Air Force, right? I get it. I heard it all, right? Heard it all. But in the Air Force, we marched. We marched everywhere, right? And for 6 weeks, because that's what my basic training was when I went, 6 weeks, we marched. And they taught us how to march, and I never picked it up. But on graduation day, you know, it was the big parade on the field, right? On the parade grounds, right? We were all out there looking good. We were looking sharp, and we were all in step and marching, looking just fantastic. But that's not what a soldier is, right? They didn't bring us in the military to teach us how to march, leave us on the parade field. No, a soldier is to go out into battle. Hey, here's your weapon. Here's your gear, right? Get out there and engage the battle. Engage the enemy, right? Take it to the war. Take it to the battle. We're to engage in warfare. Listen to this in Revelation chapter 12, in verse number 7. The Bible says, and there was war in heaven. There's war in heaven, right? Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. There's war in heaven. Now we think of heaven as what? A place of peace, right? Place of peace, but the Bible says that there is war in heaven. Now, if there's a war in heaven, don't you think for 1 minute, for 1 second, that there is going to be a war here on this earth? I mean, the devil is the father of this earth, the father of this world, right? He is going about seeking whom he may devour, but there is war in heaven, and shouldn't we expect war here on earth? Paul was aware of this warfare. And at the end of Paul's life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says this. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul was about to be put to death. He says, I fought a good fight. Hey, I did what the Lord called me to do. I kept the faith. I didn't quit. I pressed forward to the very end. Hey, I warred a good warfare. If you would, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And you thought I had 2 points. This would be a quick message. Ephesians chapter 6. Look there in verse number 11, starting there. Hey, are you going to be faithful to the end? Paul was faithful to the end. Paul was faithful to the end. But here in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 11, the Bible says here, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? That tells me something. Hey, we need to put on armor. Why? Because there's a devil, because he's attacking. And what I gather from that Bible, if we don't put on the armor of God, we're not going to be able to defend ourselves. We got to have the armor of God. We know that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Right? We know that His Word, we got to have His Word. But He says, put on the whole armor. Why? Why the whole armor? Well, because you're a soldier, remember? You're a soldier in the Lord's army. You are in battle. And now we have to put the armor on to go into battle, to get into the fight. We don't want to go without our armor. We want to go into the battle prepared. Hey, look, there is a spiritual war going on. It's spiritual war. We can't see it. We can't see the enemy, right? So we got to be prepared by putting on that armor so we can stand against the devil. Look there at verse number 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not," here it is, "for we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Again, the fight isn't between people. It's not against you and me and you and your neighbor. It's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. This is a dark world. Right? The devil's going around seeking whom he may devour like a roaring lion. And remember, I talked a little bit about this on Wednesday. He goes around seeking who he could devour just exactly like a lion does. Right, when a lion comes into a bunch of gazelles or a prey that they're going to attack, they don't just jump in and pounce on them. Right, they'll kind of eyeball them. They'll kind of maybe even do a little lunge at them. They're seeking the weak person, the weak animal. They're seeking who is weak and who is maybe injured or weak, and that's who they're going to all zone in on and attack. Right, the easy prey. The devil does the same thing, and the Bible warns us. But the devil does the same thing. See, he goes around seeking whom he may devour. The weak Christian. Right? The weak Christian, the one that's not in the Word of God, the one that's not reading their Bible, the one that's not in church, the one that's not praying, the one that's not living a separated life. But that's who that devil is going to attack, because it's an easy attack. Just like the lion, it's an easy attack. The devil is going to go after the easy attack. And so the Bible is telling us here, we've got to put on that whole armor, because that devil is going around seeking whom he may devour, just like a lion, and he wants to attack us. He says again here in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This is not a battle against people. This is a battle against supernatural forces, the devil. It's a spiritual battle. Hey, you might ask, what's it all about? Here's what it's all about. It's all about who will rule and reign. Who's going to rule and reign in your life, in your heart, in your mind? Who's going to rule and reign, God or the devil? You choose. God or the devil, it's a struggle for the souls of men. It's a struggle. It's a battle to keep people out of hell. It's a battle to get the gospel out. It's a battle. Hey, life and death is on the line here. You say, "Oh, I'm just coming to church. No big deal." This is a battle. This is life or death. People are dying and dropping off into hell. This is serious. Church is serious. Getting the gospel out is serious. It's a battle. Every time we go out into the world, the wiles of the devil are attacking. It's a spiritual battle. Right? This is life and death. Okay? It's a struggle to get people saved. It is a warfare. It is conflict. And it is until the end. This is the way it's going to be until we take our last breath. Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And every one of us has to be engaged in the battle. We have to be engaged in the battle. Why? Because it's our duty. It's just our duty. It is our duty to be in the battle. Into the spiritual battle, right? The average Christian, though, unfortunately, lives a life not in the battle. Not even realizing that they're in the battle. They don't take up their armor. They don't go prepared to the battle. They're just kind of, you know those people, you heard the phrase, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, right? If you don't stand for something, if you don't stand for the Word of God, you're going to die for nothing. die for nothing, and it won't be worth it. You get caught up in this woke stuff in the world, and I think about all this craziness in the world, and all these people truly believe in the transgender and the homosexuality stuff and all that. Hey, they're going to die, and it's going to all be for nothing because it was a lie, a very lie to them. Hey, but that's the kind of forces of evil that are around us. That is the battle that we're in. But it is our duty as Christians to war a good warfare. Hey, look, a good soldier puts on his armor and fights the enemy. We take it to the enemy. We fight. We stand strong. We don't cower. We do not quit. We do not hide. We not curl up in a ball and put a thumb in our mouth and cry, do we? No, we don't. We don't quit, right? We don't run. We don't neglect our duty. We are a hard worker. We are a soldier. A soldier is a hard worker. And no military can win any battle if their soldiers are lazy. They're not willing to go into the battle. They must prepare. They must train. Right? It's said that the Spartans trained so hard that the battle was rest to them. And the Roman legions trained as they fought, and they fought as they trained. Right? It's a continuous thing. We're training and we're fighting and we're battling. Hey, look, point is this. Don't be a sluggard. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the war. Get in the battle. Don't be defeated. You see, in a typical church, few people work like slaves, while a few more will do a little bit of work and the rest do nothing. And the rest do nothing. That's a disgrace. We're to war a good warfare. In Amos 6:1, the Bible says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." Woe to them that are at ease. Hey, that's part of the problem in our country today. We're just at ease. We have more money now than we've ever had. We have more free time than we ever had. And we're just at ease. It's all about being at ease. But hey, look, as a Christian, it's our duty to war a good warfare. And let me give you point number two. If you turn over to John chapter 14. Number two, it is our duty to war a good warfare, but also we are to war a good warfare because it is our destination. We're heaven bound. You're going to heaven. If you've been born again, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hey, heaven is our home. In John chapter 14, look there in verse number 1. In John chapter 14, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 2, "In my Father's house," get this, "are many mansions." Okay, are. They're not being built, they're already there. They're already built, they're waiting on us to get there. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you." Hey, Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, don't worry. Peter's going to deny Jesus Christ 3 times. Hey, let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry. Hey, look, I'm going to the cross of Calvary. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You can't come with me at this time, but I got to go do this. You can't do it for me. I am going to prepare a place for you. And he says in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, he had to go to the cross of Calvary. If we were ever had any opportunity or any reason or chance to get to heaven, Jesus Christ had to go to the cross and die on it. He had to shed his blood, be buried, and raise again the 3rd day. It had to happen. And now we as Christians are to war a good warfare because we're going to heaven. You get it? We're going to heaven. Heaven is our destination. And in this life, there's going to be battles. There's going to be troubled times. But the mansion is not here. The mansion is in heaven. Amen? The mansion is in heaven. Jesus didn't lie here. He told the truth. He is the truth. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. Right in 1 Peter 2:11, he says, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We are to live here as a stranger on this earth. If you would, flip to Revelation chapter 21. All the way to the back of the book. Revelation chapter 21. This world that we know is going to be destroyed. God is going to destroy this world. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. But it's going to be in God's timing. Right? Global warming isn't going to destroy the earth. Climate change isn't going to destroy this earth. All the gas vehicles we could ever imagine to have isn't going to destroy this earth. This earth will not be destroyed until God destroys it. And when He does, He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. There, Revelation 21, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Look at verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." Hey, this is true. This is in the Bible. This is God's Word. This earth and world that we know is going to be destroyed, He is going to bring into it a new heaven, a new earth. All the wicked things in this world, the devil's going to be put into the lake of fire for all of eternity. All the evil in this world, the sin in this world is going to be destroyed. And God says there'll be no more tears in heaven. There'll be no more death in heaven. There'll be no more sorrow in heaven. No more funerals, right? No more pain, no more ailments, right? No more cancer, no more diseases, no more sickness, right? The day is coming when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. That's our hope. No greater hope than that. And so we're here for just a little time, right? The Bible tells us our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanisheth away like that, okay? What do we do with our life? Have you been born again? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Hey, if not, our life is but a vapor. We're here today, and we're gone tomorrow. Hey, are you in the battle? You say you're a Christian, you're born again. You know you're going to heaven when you die. Hey, are you in the battle? Are you sitting on the sidelines? Have you girded up your loins? Have you put the armor on? Are you taking the battle to the enemy? What are you doing about it? Are you living in light? Are you living your life in light that Jesus could come back today? All those are choices. We have a choice. But one day, every man stands before the Lord Jesus Christ and gives an account of our lives. So the choice is yours. As I close, I want to close with this here. I found this poem, I guess you could say. I want to read this here poem to you here. It says, "I am a soldier. It says, I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. And faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me to teach children, work with the youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, He can use me because I am here. I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt badly enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into His army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I still come out even. I win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me, for when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to a captain and then bring me back to rule with him on this world, in this earth. I am a soldier in the army, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier, heaven bound. Are you a soldier? You're a soldier in the Lord's army. Why? Because it's our duty. It's our duty. It's our destination. We're going to heaven. That poem there was taken out of the Sword of the Lord. It didn't have an author on it. Author was unknown. It says there, I am a soldier. Are you a soldier?